Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Again, the Bible said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, is a few days and full of trouble, and that really explains our life tonight as we look at the book of Job. And as I preached out of chapter number 1 this morning on the life of Job, and Job the warrior, Job the wounded, and Job the worshiper this morning as we looked at that. And, you know, really when we, and I got to keep moving or I'll get bogged down in this. When he talks about those wounds that he had and those boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, it's interesting if you'll go to chapter number 7 and read chapter number 7 of Job, at what all else it talks about. It just wasn't a bull, but there was probably even what we would know today, probably even like a worm that was in that. Whenever you read chapter number 7, he talks about some of that. And man, Job was in bad shape. And Job says, Job's trial, matter of fact, it don't last just a few days. It lasts a year. That book covers a year. But we find that our life is full of trouble. That's what it's full of. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We're either in a valley, just come out of a valley, are fixing to go in a valley. And it's in the valley that God teaches us and God molds us and God makes us into what He wants us to be. If only thing that we ever had in our life was mountaintop experiences, honestly, we wouldn't be very mature Christians tonight. It's in the valley that God matures us into what He would have us to be. I thought about this many times when we are faced with grief. We wonder in our mind, will I ever get over this? Will I ever grow spiritually again? Will I ever be able to go back to church and sit in a service at the church and enjoy going to church? Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying right there, because sometimes, let's just be real honest, sometimes we go to church just because that's what we're supposed to do and God commanded us to do that, and we go to the house of God. But there's a lot of times we go to the house of God and, man, really deep down inside, we're wounded. And I'll just say this, I've never been really begging God to give me something that He didn't give me something. However, there are those times when it seems that we are freer, if I could say it that way, to worship the Lord. Why? Because our heart is wounded, and we sit in church, we miss our loved ones that used to maybe sit in church with us. We miss a child that maybe used to sit in church with us, and because of death or because of a child backsliding or different things, they're no longer there, and we find ourselves wondering in our mind, will I ever go to church and church be the same and worship the way that I once did? As we began to think about this tonight, I read an article this week, and let me give you something out of that. And I know that I'm using a whole lot more illustrations and different things like that than I normally do preaching, but let me read you. This is something I found interesting. It said, psychologists have observed that pain can be measured not only by the intensity and duration, but also by perceived meaning. And the meaning actually influences our response to the pain as much as or maybe even more than the other two factors. To illustrate this, consider how difficult you would, or consider how differently you would categorize the pain you might feel if you randomly picked up a hammer and smashed your finger versus if your finger was amputated to stop the spread of cancer in the rest of your body. Both experiences hurt, but the second would arguably hurt more than the first. But because there is a meaning in the pain from the surgery, which that meaning is it could quite possibly save your life, you perceive it differently than you would a random smash of a hammer on your finger. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The way that we view things and what it means to us does affect the way that we grieve and the way that we look at things. Seemingly, our grief becomes more bearable when we recognize that even though we cannot fully see God's purpose, there is a purpose in it. And there are four, and those purposes are for our good. Think about this. The truth is that we can't fully understand God's purposes in our pain, and He doesn't expect us to try to figure them out all the time. You know, as I study the book of Job, and I look at the book of Job, nowhere do we really find a reason for why Job went through what he went through. We never fully find a reason for it. There's never a place where it says, and this is the reason that Job went through what Job went through. Can I say this to you tonight? We may not always understand the full extent of the reason we face what we do face. However, we can understand this, that God has a purpose and God has a plan for us going through what we go through. God assures us that He is at work in ways that we cannot even see sometimes. God wants to bring us comfort and growth through our grief. If you will, go to John 11 with me tonight. In John 11, Jesus grieved with Mary and Martha. He also pointed them to truths that could stabilize their souls and bring growth in their life. You let me tell you one thing that we do look for in times of grief and in times of trouble. We look for stabilization. We look for something that, can I just say it this way, that will stabilize our emotions and stabilize our grief. I thought about this in John chapter number 11. You know the story. And Lazarus is sick unto death, or is not sick unto death, Jesus says, and he ends up dying, and Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. But I find it interesting how Jesus responds to Mary and Martha. Look what the Bible said in verse 22 of John 11. But I know that even now, let me back up to verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You know what? Jesus don't rebuke her. Jesus don't jump down her throat. Can I say it that way? Jesus simply responds this way, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know what Jesus does? Jesus compassionately and Jesus tenderly turns to them and speaks to them during their time of grief. Let me show you three things tonight about growing through grief. There's three things that I think that we need to understand. Number one tonight, God has a sovereign plan in what we're going through. God has a sovereign plan in what we're going through. Now, can I say this to you? You and I may not understand that because our mind is not the same mind as God. You hear what I just said? I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. Our ways are not His ways, and our thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, I want to say this to you tonight before I go a step further. David found himself in a major storm in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. You remember the story? David, his child is sick. His child ends up dying. David fasts and prays before the Lord. But can I say something to you? God did not cause that storm in David's life. David caused that storm in his life. And a lot of times, we want to, let me just level with you, we want to do foolish things and cause major storms in our life, and then we want to run to God and ask Him why we're where we're at. Well, we're where we're at because we made a dumb decision. David was, everybody okay tonight? David was where he was at in 2 Samuel chapter 12 because of the decisions he made in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Now, God still helped David through that, and God forgave David for it. But when it comes to God allowing storms in our life, God does have a sovereign plan in that. Even though Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, He allowed His friends to grieve because He had a purpose that was larger than they could see at the time. Look in chapter number 11, verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Well, you know what? If you just read the beginning of chapter number 11, what's going on, they've sent for Jesus. If we just read that tonight, you know what? It immediately, when I get to verse number 6, I think this. Why? Why? Why did Jesus abode there? Are you with me? They're asking Jesus to help them. They send for Jesus because Lazarus is sick. Why did Jesus wait? Here's the reason why. Jesus had a sovereign plan that they could not see. Could Jesus have prevented the death? Sure. He could have prevented the sickness altogether if He wanted to. He is God incarnated into man. But Jesus had a sovereign plan in this situation. And can I say something to you tonight? When we are faced with troubles in our life and God allows the storm to come in our life, we may not understand why it seems that He waits to run to our assistance, but God understands and He has a sovereign plan. In this instance, God's sovereign plan would bring Him glory in a way that Mary and Martha could have never even guessed in their wildest dreams that it would have happened. Jesus was going to prove His deity to everyone there by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus was going to prove that He just wasn't an ordinary individual that was born by Mary. Jesus that day was going to prove that He was indeed the sovereign Son of God, that He was God incarnate into man. Jesus was going to prove His deity that day. And you see, there's times that we are faced with things in our life and we may not understand it, but God has a bigger plan if we'll just wait on Him. If we'll just wait on Him. You remember what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. God's promises, and God promises that He will work all things, including our grief, together for good in our life if we'll just be patient and understand that He has a bigger picture or a sovereign plan. I read this illustration, and let me give it to you. Paul Chappell said this. He said, years ago, I was walking through an old cemetery in California reading the faded inscriptions on the gravestones, most over a century old. One that caught my eye was a short couplet that said this: "We cannot, Lord, Thy purpose see, but all is well that is done by Thee." Can I read that to you again? "We cannot, Lord, Thy purpose see, but all is well that is done by Thee." As I looked down to the dates on the stone, I saw this was a grave for a 4-day-old baby. I thought about the grief that must have felt, that the parents must have felt as they prepared to bury their little girl. And seeing the testimony of their faith ended up strengthening mine. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's simply what he is saying and what those parents were saying. God has a sovereign plan, and I may not can see it right now. I may not understand it right now, but I do know this. Whatever is done by him is right. It's holy. He's never made a mistake, and I'll just trust his plan. You see, number one, we must understand God has a sovereign plan. God has, if you don't hear nothing else I'm saying tonight, God has a sovereign plan. Preacher, why is this tragedy happening in my life? I don't know. I've had people ask me this question down through the years. Preacher, can you explain to me why we are here like this right now? No, I can't. I don't understand it either. But I do know this, God's got a plan. I thought about this today, Brother Josh, as I read back over all of this again and I was studying again. I thought about your dad going home to be with the Lord. And I thought about your nephew getting saved the other night. You know what? He may have never got saved if Brother Jim hadn't went home to be with the Lord like that. Just tragically, all of a sudden, and God began to speak to his heart. You know what? God may have used that. You know what? Addie, his granddaughter, may have never come to know the Lord as their Savior. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. We may not understand it. We may not see the end results. We may not understand the whys right now, but we must trust that God has a sovereign plan, and anything that's done by him is right. Number one, he's got a sovereign plan. Number two, watch this. Not only does God have a sovereign plan, but number two, God allows us to grieve. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? God allows us to grieve. Can I just say it this way? God wants us to grieve. Sometimes Christians who know God's promises to bring good through their grief assumes that to feel sorry means they are somehow not trusting God. They feel that if they are mourning or they're grieving, that it is not pleasing to God and that we are not trusting God. Hear me tonight. Just because we mourn or grieve does not mean that we don't trust God. God made you the way that you are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. God created you to grieve. Let me back up and rephrase that. We know according to the garden, he created us for fellowship with him. But after man sinned, God allowed us to grieve. God allows us to grieve. Listen to what the Bible said. And let me just back up, make reference to John 11:35. What did Jesus do himself? He grieved. What did he do himself? Man, he wept. He cried. Why? Because Lazarus is dead. God allows us to grieve tonight. So when you have this emotion inside of you, when you're crying, when you're wondering why things are the way that they are, it's not that we're sinning by doing that. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalm 77. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He goes on to say this in verse number 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You remember the story in Lamentations? And Jeremiah is grieving because of the Babylonian siege. And he says this in Lamentations 3:32. He says, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his, what? Mercies. Jeremiah is saying, yes, I am grieving, but I know the Lord will show compassion. And I want to say this to you tonight. Grieving is okay. God allows us to do that. Sometimes I'm afraid that we have allowed the, I won't say this the right way, but we have allowed the, maybe the charismatic movement and some of the contemporary movement to cause us to think that we're wrong when we grieve because we are emotional in doing that. But the truth of the matter is this, you better learn to grieve. Because when you don't grieve, and when you think like you've got it all together, and you act like that, and you decide to push your feelings and emotions deep down inside of you, all you're going to do is end up becoming bitter. You're going to end up becoming angry. You end up becoming upset with God. You know what? You may differ with me here, and that's okay. I'm not going to argue with you after service. But I'm just going to tell you, in 18 years of pastoring and 46 years of being around pastoring, those people that, Brother Brian, when tragedy hit their life, and they just sold up like a brick wall, most of those are not even in church today. But that individual that you saw break and cry and talk to the Lord and ask God why they was going through what they was going through, there's nothing wrong with that. If it's wrong to ask why, then Jesus was wrong on Calvary and the blood is insufficient. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with having a conversation with God unless we're doing it angry. You take those that release, if you want to say it that way, their emotion, Brother Aaron, they're still in church today. God help them through that. Why? Because God allows us to grieve. I read this. Ed Welch said this. He relayed a conversation with dear friends whose son had died about 12 years prior. They described how they was a season after his death when they cried all the time. They said all they did was sleep and cry. But as the Lord brought healing in their grief, they found they could sometimes smile through the tears as they remembered their son and as they spoke to others about him. And by the time of his conversation 12 years later, they said they had mostly smiled as they thought about their son, but still sometimes cried. The grief was still there, but it calmed, quieted, and changed over the years. Rather than trying to rush the process of their healing and find a new quote-unquote normal, they said, we allowed God to minister to our hearts through the grieving process. And I want to say something to you tonight. A lot of times when we face tragedy, we think that we have to run right back into the heat of the battle. We think that we have to put a smile right back on our face. We think that we can show no emotions and all we can do is just stand up and say, boy, I'm trusting God through all of this and He's got a greater plan. But the truth of the matter is this. There's some times that we're falling apart and our life is breaking into a million pieces and the best thing we can do is slide up around an altar and say, God, my life's a mess right now. Emotionally, I'm a wreck right now. I don't understand why things are the way they are right now. And God, I just need you to come alongside of me. I need you to wrap your arms around me. I need you to cry with me. I need you to assure me that you've got a plan and all this is going to work together for your glory. Because at the end of the day, on our best day, we're still just humans. We're still just humans. Number one, God has a sovereign plan. Number two, God allows us to grieve. But number three, I'll give you this and we'll go home. God is faithful when we are grieving. God is faithful when we are grieving. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, the hometown of Mary and Martha, he didn't distance himself from this grieving family. You know what he done? He went directly to them and ministered to them in their grief. He wept with them. He went to the grave with them. He was present with them in their time of grief. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 13. He said this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying this, it don't matter where you're at. It don't matter how dark the night is. It don't matter how bad the storm is. It don't matter how much it's raining. If you look around, you'll find me standing somewhere. Matter of fact, Job said he looked all around him in chapter 23 and he couldn't find him. But he said, God knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job was simply saying this, God knows where I'm at. God knows what I'm going through. God is a very present help in the trouble. It's what the psalmist said. God is faithful to us in our time of grieving. I'll give you two simple little things right here I wrote down. In our times of grieving, he's faithful to us through his word, because his word is powerful. His word is powerful. What did the psalmist say in Psalms 119? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. What is he saying? Thy word hath made me alive, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespassings of sin. His word is powerful. How is God faithful to us in our grieving? Through his word tonight. I'm glad that in the midnight hours, I can pick up the word of God, and I can read the word of God, and the word of God comforts me in my time of grieving. There's times when it's hard for us to read the word. I didn't figure I'd get many amens. There's times when the devil comes up on our back and we try to read the word of God and it seems it's nothing more than words on the page. There's times that our heart is so overwhelmed, and Miss Shannon, our tears are so great that we literally cannot read the printed word of God because our heart is so overwhelmed and our eyes is so full of tears. Oh, but aren't you thankful for modern day technology where we can put on the word of God and listen to the word of God, or those scriptures that we have memorized, we begin to quote them. And God, through his word, is faithful to us in our time of grieving.